This weekend, I've had some big events. Last night, there was a baptism of three children. We've got Talitha's baptism after Mass today, and that's such a beautiful and powerful thing. The very beginning of supernatural life through the gift of the water and the Spirit, freeing child from original sin, from enslavement to sin and death, the domination of the enemy. The child becomes a part of the flock of the Good Shepherd, a member of the kingdom of God. And so there's this great gift and beginning that happens in baptism. And then also yesterday, I happened to be in Minneapolis in the morning and frantically got back here by the afternoon. Thankfully, all the flights lined up, so props to Southwestern. They can send me a voucher for that later. And they got me back because I was in Minneapolis for a funeral. Funeral for a priest, Father Jeff Heward, who had declining health and had died. And this Father Jeff Heward was one of the founding members of the Companions of Christ in St. Paul, a priest association that we in turn have started here in Denver. And he himself had been a great mentor to us, our priest group in Denver, a great big brother, even a father. And so five of us on short notice went up there braving the Thanksgiving flight traffic, but it was so worth it because Father Jeff Heward was a man just so committed to the Good Shepherd. And he lived out his priestly vocation with generosity and grace and determination and good cheer at the same time. He truly served the kingdom of God as a son of light and impacted many people as he was guided by the Holy Spirit in his life. You know, his funeral, I think, gave testimony to that. At his funeral yesterday, there were at least 100 priests, four bishops, and a totally packed church. And so I think that the gospel words of Jesus on his throne that he gives to those on the right rings true for Father Jeff. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. And so putting those two realities up there, the joy, the beginning of a baptism, and then that end of our life in this world, you know, there's this great journey between these two points. And what will that journey be like for each of us? Will it be a journey, one in which we do heed the Good Shepherd's voice? Even if maybe at times we have strayed one way or another, but if we've heard his voice and he's brought us back, will it be a journey in which we take up our own part, our own vocation in the kingdom of God, something that then gives glory to God the Father in the end, that God will be all in all? Will that be the journey of our life? Or will it be instead the grace of baptism inactivated, perhaps even neglected, so we become lukewarm in our own relationship with the Good Shepherd and indifferent towards our vocation and our part in his kingdom? Maybe even worse, simply following other voices that lead us out of the kingdom and into darkness. So we have choices to make. There are challenges to overcome. There are opportunities to be grasped between that gift of baptism we've been given and then when our use of that baptismal grace will be accounted for at the end. Jesus, our good shepherd and our king, does not leave us, though, alone in this epic journey through this life. In the Gospel of John, he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And he promises to send the Holy Spirit from the Father to be our advocate, to be our guide. And so he lovingly accompanies us, and he gives us much assistance of grace along the way, not just kind of waiting at the end on his throne, but being right there with us, at work within us. So his kingdom, by that grace, can advance both within us as well as then through us. He gives help in the small daily graces, little prompts to mind and heart and strengthening, you know, to live out our Christian life. There's different sacramental graces that he gives us to help our supernatural life born in baptism. First of all, there's the help to conversion and to resuscitate that life if we've had a great fall, to be able to go to that sacrament of confession. There's also then nourishing that supernatural life with the great sacrament of the Eucharist. But I think one sacrament that is especially ordered to helping the graces of baptism flourish so we can really take up our place in the kingdom is the sacrament of confirmation. Last night at the 4:30 p.m. Mass, we had two people receive confirmation, which is beautiful. One, a gentleman who's a Presbyterian who'd been preparing for quite a while to enter the Catholic Church, and so he was just ready. Another, Melania, she is Catholic, but already had a lot of formation, but still needed that gift of confirmation, and it was a joy to kind of celebrate that sacrament on this great solemnity of Christ the King, a sacrament that I think helps us live out and heed his kingship in our lives and in the world. So I think this is an opportunity for all of us to remember the graces of confirmation so we can more confidently live by them. It's also a chance for Catholics who have not received that sacrament to urge you to come forward, to be prepared and to receive this great and powerful sacrament. And so contact us if that's the case. Let's start the process. Let's get the ball rolling to receive this great sacrament of the kingdom, because Christ the King needs his people to be fully equipped and to be using all the graces of the kingdom. I delayed getting confirmation until I was 24. I kind of flaked out in high school and in college years, didn't heed that call, didn't receive the gift right there in front of me. But when I finally did, I can tell it truly lit a fire. Looking back now at kind of the trajectory of my life from that confirmation at 24, I can see how God's graces in that sacrament really helped me to mature and grow spiritually, how to grow in virtue and help me to become an engaged and active member of the body of Christ in the church, and eventually then to even discern my vocation to the priesthood. This all kind of opened up, I think, when that sacrament of confirmation was given. God is always at work with our freedom and with our limitations. And so sometimes that grace of the sacrament of confirmation may have to work in a subtle, gentle way, but its cumulative effect in the end is huge. Let me just share with you what are some of the effects of this great sacrament so you can either appreciate what you've been given and try to live out of that more, or if you haven't, to, well, entice you into this great thing God wants to do for you. So the first thing is that God imprints a seal, a mark, an indelible mark upon our soul when we receive the grace, the sacrament of confirmation. And that's the same thing as in baptism. We're marked upon our soul as belonging to the kingdom. Just as, you know, soldiers, you know, would have a tattoo of the emperor. You know, we receive the seal first in baptism, and then it's deepened in confirmation that we belong to Christ the King. And the good news is that even if we've kind of flaked out for a while, you know, if we have fallen into serious sin, if we've drifted from the faith, that seal remains, and the Lord can work through that to give us graces of conversion, to hear the shepherd's voice. That mark is there because God is faithful, even when we are not. The second thing is that confirmation truly builds on baptism. It helps increase and deepen the graces of baptism, such as deepening our relationship with God the Father and God the Son, as well as increasing, empowering those seven great gifts of the Holy Spirit within us. Gifts like fortitude, wisdom, counsel, these different gifts that help us so that in our life we're not simply acting out of our own resources, our own human capacity, but through the infinite capacity of the Holy Spirit to propel us forward and to guide us. The saints, truly their secret is that they live and act through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that gift that's perfected in the sacrament of confirmation. And then it also strengthens our bond with the church, the mystical body of Christ. There's maybe one other third effect, along with that seal, the deepening of baptismal grace. The third one, well, I like to describe it this way. If baptism brings us into the family of God, if we're introduced, we come into the family of baptism, confirmation brings us into the family business, you know, which is salvation, and salvation for the world. And so a great grace of confirmation is to strengthen the Holy Spirit within us to be able to spread and defend the faith by word, by action, as true witnesses to Christ, and to confess the name of Christ boldly, to never be ashamed of the cross. It really is the grace of Pentecost, where the timorous, fearful apostles were praying after the resurrection but not knowing what to do, and the Holy Spirit came upon them as the risen Lord had promised, and then they were propelled out in the world to really extend and bring the kingdom into the world. That grace of Pentecost is what we receive in the sacrament of confirmation. And so you can see how important the grace of confirmation is for us, especially in this time where kind of Christendom is fading away, that alliance between society and faith that's really falling apart. So the church has to re-engage on the ground, you know, in apostolic mission. So if you receive the sacrament and you're like, well, this sounds like a pretty good thing, you know, how can you activate those graces to kind of unpack the graces given? Well, I think first is you need to remove obstacles. And one is then if you do need to go to confession, if you have that grave sin in your life, to first go and make a good confession, resuscitate, bring back to life that supernatural life. And then it can be guided and propelled by the Holy Spirit so that the first mercy God gives is to bring our souls back to life. And then from there, I recommend one simple practice. You know, choose something of the kingdom and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. It's a little strategy that our Follow Me groups have learned in the source study. Choose something of Christ, of the kingdom, and then ask the Holy Spirit. Choose and ask. So maybe three areas for that. The first would be choose to simply obey the will of God in my life as I know it, according to my vocation. What is God calling me to live that out as a spouse, as a parent, as single? What is that? What is he calling me to? I want to choose that. To choose to live by the Beatitudes, things like being merciful, a peacemaker, pure of heart, choosing holiness, that deep communion with God and a deep trust in the Father. So to choose those kinds of things, and when you like literally choose those things in word and in action and in thought and intent, ask the Holy Spirit to then help you. Choose and ask. On the other side, there's also a resisting of things. So choose to resist temptations to sin, to unbelief, to just thinking with the world and desiring only the things of this world and kind of get mired and caught up in that. To resist temptations to separate yourself from the church. Choose to resist those things. And then ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And then a third area would be that final kind of grace of the sacrament is to take up the mission of the church, to really evangelize, to spread the good news through relationship, through words, yes, through words, as well as through actions. And then these powerful and incredible works of mercy, like the corporal works of mercy we heard about in our gospel today, so decisive for our salvation, as well as those spiritual works of mercy, of teaching and consoling and correcting, these works of mercy. Choose to do those things and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And I know that those graces of confirmation will be there to help you and to guide you. Think again about that great journey, you know, from Talitha to Father Jeff Heward, that whole journey through life, There's a great journey between the gift of supernatural life begun in baptism and the end of our life in this world, when what we have become through the grace of baptism will be what ultimately matters. May the sacrament of confirmation help us to take up our place in the kingdom of God and one day stand rejoicing before Jesus Christ, the King.